Hey, this is Ron Baird from Cannibal Corpse, and you're listening to Larry and Mary Fish on Music City Metal. Crank it up!
Welcome to another episode of Music City Metal. Larry and I are live on location at the Wilson County, now the state of Tennessee, fairgrounds.
Yeah, we got our butts plunked down about 50 feet from Fish Fest 3 stage. That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Where our butts are planted right now on the grass is where our trailer was parked for 3 days. And it's cool to be back here. And got a little doo-wop going over there, a little different than what we did, Mayor, huh? But your thoughts?
A little different. My thoughts, I don't know. Why is that guy taking a picture over there? That just feels weird. But my thoughts are... he's not taking a picture of us. Okay, I haven't been around people a lot lately, so go with the flow. So, yeah, I feel like we have the Andrews sisters here in the background, but they're tearing up the stage. They got a full house, full crowd.
Yeah, I love this place. I always like coming to this fair now, the state fair in Tennessee, and wandering around and... just so different. Just the last time we were here staring at this building, things were so different. We did have a little dog show or goat show right next to us, and I remember our first day, about halfway into Friday, someone coming over and saying, how long does your concert go till? And I'm like, about midnight Saturday. They weren't too happy. But nonetheless, here we are. Gosh, I can't even remember when we did a last episode together because of our incredibly dull, boring lifestyle.
Oh, yeah. Totally dull, totally boring. Two-job, boring. Yeah. Full-time, two-job, boring.
Yeah, no, we've been busy with our jobs and work, and it's been great. Sadly, it's one of the reasons why Fish Fest 4 is going to be pushed off to the first quarter of next year. It's not when we normally want to do it, but we have a lot of exciting things. It's going to be much better. It's going to be at a different location, and we're scouting out one of them this weekend, and also working on two B-listers in the work to draw out the people. So I think the postponement will be good overall. It's obviously, I like doing it in the fall. I know you know, but just not going to happen this October. But we'll see. Wherever it ends up, it's going to be better.
Yes, better as far as location, not necessarily, well, not to slight any of the bands as not being better, yeah, as far as the lineup, just the place.
Yeah, no, we just want, if we were able to rent out this entire fairgrounds and have a beer truck and not have to worry about a wedding behind us and a goat show next to us, you know, I think it'd be all right. But, yeah, we need to do this solo. We're also, we have another two locations in mind. First location scout is this weekend, and I wouldn't mind that because that's owned by a biker club. And that would make things real easy on what we want to pull off.
Well, we would definitely have security covered. Not an issue.
Yeah, Big Joe. Shout out to Big Joe. I ran into him at Wayne's the other night. He was our head security. Great guy, family man, and now a fan of Dystopian, Mary.
I know.
His son has an autographed Fish Fest poster.
How cute is that Dystopian autographs something, and to a littler kid, you know, it's something special. That's really cool.
Oh, to see the next generation, you know, Dystopian boys are young. They're just coming into adulthood, graduating high school. And here was like a 11-year-old long-haired metalhead who just adored them. And, yeah, it was cool. So we're excited. I love seeing that sort of thing, that we help pull those kind of people together.
There's a lot of other connections. I mean, we could spend an hour talking about all the connections that were made. I talked with Stephanie and Travis of Serpents over the weekend at our house, and they have some really great ideas on some collaboration that we're going to talk about soon. Plus, another metal chick to hang out with. So that was exciting.
Very exciting. Yeah, that was a nice... we had our Fish Fest party, our post-Fish Fest party this previous Saturday on the 20th. And We did have a little rain that I think discouraged our turnout. A lot of people that just thought it was canceled. I mean, it did pour for quite a while, but nonetheless, the people that did show up, it was great. Our new friend Byrne, our new friend Matt O'Neill, all because of Fish Fest, brought into the family, got to meet some other friends of ours. I don't know, I love that. I love bringing cool people together. And aside from the awesome music that we had that weekend and the things that have happened since with bands like Sidewinder, Dystopian, it's cool.
So does that mean you don't like bringing non-cool people together?
I'll bring it. I don't mind. I've done that before, too.
Yeah, we you have. So we spent a little bit of time reminiscing. What else is coming up next? I think you have something exciting to announce.
Yes. Yeah, actually, we are doing a show, and I'm going to kind of, I don't know, I think I'm going to call it Fish Fest 3.5. We have a band that played Fish Fest 2, Oblivion Myth. We have Dystopian. And we have George Ochoa, formerly of Deliverance and Recon, with his new project, including Mike Lee from Baron Cross, Human Code. Labor Day weekend, free show at Bowie's. Make sure you're there. It's Music City Metal sponsoring it. So come on out. It's totally free.
September 4th, not the whole weekend.
Oh, yeah.
You said Labor Day weekend, not the whole weekend. Spend a day or two at home, and then come out Sunday the 4th downtown to Bowie's. Live on the Green will also be happening that day. So if you need a break from having your little orange earplugs in your ears, like I will have to, and you want to help us pass out some flyers up the hill at Live on the Green, support another local business. Bowie's owner, Bowie's, easy for me to say, Bowie's is female owned. So come out and support another female entrepreneur.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, coming up a little bit later in this episode of Music City Metal, we're going to have George Ochoa, hopefully Mike Lee from Human Code. And we'll see if we can get George to drop one of his tracks that he shared with me. Love it. Like, kind of reminds me Dream Theater, Queensryche, type of prog rock. What do you think?
Yeah, but you know, it's funny. Yes, I like it. I enjoy it because you can understand the words. However, Recon, to me, not knowing, right, because everybody knows I grew up under a music, a little rock in the 80s because of an evangelical church that had a stranglehold on my parents. But I always thought the way it's spelled, it looks like reckon. Come on, tell me you never reckon. Thought that.
No, just because I discovered Recon post service time for me, and I knew Recon meant recon, you know.
Reconnaissance, yeah. Well, military.
I didn't discover the word reckon until we moved to Tennessee. Reckon? So, as a matter of fact, I say we take a music break here, Mayor, and we're going to play a tune by Dystopian. When their album was supposed to be ready by Fish Fest, and they ran into some delays, but it is finally out. They've been to Florida playing that, playing their album down there. We took them down there in the spring. They got to play with Rob Barrett again, and it was just great to see. Even Rob made a comment to me watching them perform just before he performed with them, and like, wow, they've come a long way since October, and man, this is the new generation of metal. So check it out. This is Dystopian from The Living Will, one of my favorites, Hope.
Yeah.
Music City Metal. That's Dystopian from the Living Will. Song's called Hope. I don't know. I love that riff. Gets stuck in my eye. The riffs are great. They're mixing together classic thrash, a little bit of death metal, and they're on their way. They're on their way. So it's a big thing for them playing. It's kind of like a really cool show. We got a band, Oblivion Myth. We really don't can call them veterans, per se. They've been around for a while, but they're kind of like the middle of the road. Dystopian's pretty much brand new. They're still first album, first year of playing shows. And then George and Mike Lee have been around since the late 80s and 90s. So we got like a killer mix of stuff going on September 4th at Bowie's. Can I say that again? September 4th at Bowie's.
I think it's going to be great, but I want to take a quick pause. They have beach balls. You guys can't see this because this is not a video podcast. All these grannies and grandpas are tossing beach balls around. How come we didn't have that at Fish Fest, Larry?
It would have turned into dodgeball based on the pit that happened, I think.
You're right.
Oh, we're back. We're done laughing. I say we wrap up this segment here and play a song by Oblivion Myth. Any last thoughts here before we go eat some more food?
No, let's go eat some more food. Yes, I do have one last thought. Not that anyone's, it's going to matter, but this place called Roasted Coconut, they're brand new, based out of Mount Juliet. This food truck was amazing.
Yeah, like all kinds of killer dragon fruit and papaya and chia seeds and bee pollen.
It balanced out the fried Oreos.
Yeah, a little bit of granola on there. It was delicious. I'm ready for something else, so I'm not done eating.
And I'm not done listening to rock and roll, Do It Fish.
Yeah, all right. This is another one of our bands, September 4th at Bowie's, Oblivion Myth. This is the title track from their 2020 album, In Your Arms. Here's Oblivion Myth, Music City Metal. Human Code, George Ochoa, coming up next.
In your arms tonight, I lie. We'll be right back.
Music City Metal. We left the fair, came home, had a good night's sleep, and here we are over in George Ochoa's studio doing the Human Code segment that we talked about. George is here, Ray Vidal is here, and we got Terry Russell, Terry the Animal Russell, coming in virtually from California. Welcome, Terry. Thanks for letting us run late a little bit, hanging out with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So, Mary, what do you think of the studio? I've been dying to set up in here and chill for a minute.
It's very unique. It's very unique.
Well, yes. We got to get a few pictures.
We can do that. Are they copyright protected?
You're cool.
Okay, cool.
So anyways, George, it's just interesting how, I don't know, you moved here a couple years ago. Ray beat you here. We fished a few times, and now here we are doing a show with one of your bands, and I'm pretty excited about it. Now, I guess you're a Nashville band now. Are you want to call yourself a Nashville band?
Well, let me back up a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Terry the Animal Russell is the drummer to Human Code, which is the band that's playing the show. So, and I'm the guitar player. Terry the Animal Russell used to play with a little act called Holy Soldier, right?
Oh, yeah, I remember them.
And then I used to be with Deliverance Recon. Still currently working with Worldview. In fact, Terry's also the drummer to Worldview as well.
Oh.
I tell you, have drums, we'll travel. I'm ready.
There you go. To answer your question now, by the way, Terry came up with the name of the studio. Did I ever tell you the name of the studio?
No. Don't know.
Go ahead, tell him, Terry, what the name of the studio is.
Well, Mr. Ochoa Studio there in Nashville. I mean, you can't get any better than Bullet Studios, right?
Bullet Studios.
Bullet Studios. That's it. B-U-L-L-E-T. I wanted to spell I-E-T, but we might get sued by the bourbon company. So there'll be plenty of bourbon bullet. Well, never mind. That's another story.
All right. I like it.
Bullet Studios. So here, that's where we're at. Are we a Nashville band? Nah, I'm just from Nashville. The rest of the guys, Michael Drive, Todd Libby, bass player extraordinaire, also played with Worldview. Whoa, that noise is gnarly. Thanks, Terry, for that. And Terry, I'll live in California still. And I'm trying to get them all to move out here because this is actually the promised land. So there you go.
Well, California is bleeding out musicians here. Said it for a while. What made you leave Cali? Come here.
Well, my buddy Ray, which is sitting here next to me, he came, we talked about it, and he said, if you guys move out there, we'll move out there. He and his wife, Kristen, and my wife and I, Denise. And he pulled the trigger before we did. He got out here before we did, and then we got out here about a year later, right? About a year and a half later.
Yeah, about a year and a half later.
Yeah. A year and a half, but I remember hanging out. You came into town and went out to dinner, and kind of for really the first time we had seen each other, maybe at one Sanctuary event, but
yeah,
since the reunion show where we met.
Oh, yeah. What year was that?
2000. Wow. 22 years ago.
22 years ago. Wow. You haven't changed a bit.
Yeah, nothing. Not at all. Same dude.
Yeah, but I think Terry, do you have a place to go, Terry, or you got a little time?
No, I'm good.
Okay, because I just, if we wanted to hear from Terry.
Yeah, right. No.
I mean, time reasons, but if you're here for a while, go for it. But anyways.
Yeah, no, I always arrange my schedule for you, brother.
Thank you. So what's next? I don't want to keep talking.
Oh, no. Even no. I thought you were finishing something.
I can't keep talking all night, but you're the host here. So
Well, it's really interesting how, like I said, we were friends. We met one time, and then maybe one other. We stayed friends, connected on Facebook, and really, friends from a distance. And now the last year and a half, we've fished and talked music. We've seen a few concerts together, and now we're doing a show together, which is pretty cool. Ray is the one that's got us into Bowie's here. We tried about a year and a half ago and didn't, I guess maybe we weren't persistent enough or something, but we ended up finding a venue. But Ray, thanks for this door kicking open here, because I like that place. I've always loved Bowie's downtown. It's a little bit off Broadway, but it's a, I don't know, it's a good vibe there. And so we're excited from, you know, today. It's about 10 days away, 12 days away from, how many days out from the 4th are we? Let's say Thursday.
As you look 11 to days. Your wife.
Yeah, right? Mary,
to
help
keep
me.
Keep everything in order.
I can't
you
count.
Look to the wife, huh?
Always, always. Mary and I are kind of a good team with this, and I have my talent. She has yours. You have yours.
I have mine.
And the admin part, is it? Counting calendar days.
It is. Counting calendar days. The show's coming up, George. Are you excited? What are you guys going to wear? That's what the girls want to know.
No, I think the best-looking guy in the band should answer that.
Terry, tell us. What are you guys going to wear?
Well, we were talking about the G-strings Ray and I were just talking about, but I don't know that that's going to work.
Maybe not.
Yeah, I don't think. Although the girls at Bowie's may like that, I don't know if it'd be the right thing to do.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. So, I don't know. George is the mastermind behind this, so I think we're going to kind of keep it secret when we come out.
All right, we'll keep it a secret.
I like that.
Trying a hat. We were looking at a hat option a little bit ago, but I don't know how the votes came out.
No.
And the hat option.
Father George.
Father George. Yeah. Brother George.
If we back up a little bit, Brother George, tell us about the origins of the band, because you know me. I lived under a rock in the music world, so bring me up to speed.
I'll talk about myself. I'll let Terry talk about his history, not just with this band, but his history in the Christian music industry. But mine started, I was born a poor Mexican child in East L.A. No, I'm kidding. I was born actually in France where my dad was in the service. So, and I am half Mexican, so I'm not being derogatory there.
Yeah. I didn't know about the France thing. That's news to me.
Oh, you didn't know I was born in France?
Didn't know.
I want you to know right off the bat that I am an American citizen. Okay, let's get that cleared up.
Because
right
you were born on an army base.
That's right.
That's
buddy.
That's how you get that.
So you are born, even though you're born abroad, you were born an American citizen because it's sovereign American soil wherever the soldiers are. So anyway, so back, I don't know. I don't want to go too far back because we'll be here all night. But having been in Christian music industry for quite a while, being in Deliverance, Recon, and then, you know, Worldview, I kind of took a little stint there where I kind of wasn't really in the scene. I was still playing. I was playing this band called Salt of Earth that was, for a few years, that was kind of not metal. So I'm really ashamed of that I left metal for a little bit.
It's actually some of his best stuff ever in my book, but hey, you know.
So then I woke up one day and said, "What are you doing, George? You're a metalhead. Get back to metal." So we started Worldview, and then that's a long story in itself, because how Worldview started, because that was that kind of ties in with Terry and him being in it, and how this band started, Human Code. But anyway,
well, wasn't if I can interrupt, originally the nucleus was Worldview, and then you figured in moving it into two totally different directions.
That's right. There was a while there I formed Worldview, and it all started, and I'll say this quickly, from Ray, Rick Macias, that was in Sacred Warrior. He and I were friends outside of being in, he was in Sacred Warrior, I was in Deliverance. Every time I'd come to Chicago, I'd always stay with him, and he enjoy. And we just formed a friendship where we kept, you know, calling each other. And, you know, those are the days before the internet and all that good stuff. So we actually used the phone, and for what it was intended for, talking on the phone. And so we kept in touch. He'd come out to California and hang out. He always told Ray Parra, "You got to do something with George. You got to do something with George." So that's how, you know, then he passed away. And then Ray and I started talking, and we, you know, fulfilled Rick's wish for us to do something. And thus, Worldview was formed. After a while there, we did the first record. It kind of worked out where Ray was kind of going other ways and this and that. And I think he kind of joined Deny the Fallen. So there's a while there. we didn't know what to do. So we kind of got, Mike and I were talking, Michael Drive, Mike Lee of Baron Cross. He only lived like 5 minutes from me. And it's I don't know why we never worked together before this, but we didn't. And I guess it was God's timing. And we ended up working together. And initially, he was going to be the replacement singer in Worldview. But then he kind of came in, and not to bag on Mike at all, because he's a great guy, but he's very, what can we say about Mike there, Terry?
Unique.
Unique. There you go. He's very unique in the way we're like, he wanted to take the whole, the Worldview direction way different. And I was like going, no, Worldview is my baby. So I said, no, I don't want to take it that way. Why don't we form another band? And we can take the direction of that band any way we want. And because I think Worldview is more of a prog, cinematic, power metal band, you know. And he wanted to take out the keyboards and all that stuff. And I love keyboards. I mean, there's one song on the Worldview album that probably has like 52 keyboard tracks on it.
You know, I love it. The Chosen Few. I got pretty hooked on that. I wouldn't mind seeing a Worldville show too.
So. Oh yeah, that's gonna happen. Right. It's gonna happen. Yeah. Oh, by the way.
What?
Anyway, Mary asks Chris. So bottom line is, Human Code formed out of Worldview, and Worldview by then Terry was already in Worldview, and Todd was always there from the first record. So it was gonna be Mike, but then we ended up just saying, okay, let's just move this over and call it Human Code. And we can do whatever style, because I didn't want to pervert the Worldview style, because that style is pretty cool to me. And the second album's already written, and Mike would have wanted to change everything on that second album. And I said, no, I don't want you touching that material. Let's just write new material. And we did. So that's how that band formed. By the way, we're still going to do Worldview, and it's still going to be Terry on drums, and it's going to be Todd on bass. And it is going to be Ray Parr again. So that's after we finish this record. And we're going to move right into Worldview 2. So, Terry, if you don't mind me, I'm not taking over your podcast here. No. But if you could give your take on how you saw everything, the same question that Mary kind of asked.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, obviously, my history, I joined Holy Soldier in 85. And so I had a good run with them all the way up for about 10 years there. And then when I left Holy Soldier, I was kind of just floating for a little bit. I mean, I did have a solo project that I did called Dog, Disciples of God, where we were a three-piece power trio where I played drums and lead sing. So that was kind of in the veins of like Metallica, Motorhead. Really enjoyed that. It was three piece for a while. And then I ended up bringing in Larry Farkas on guitar. I mean, goodness, anytime you got Larry playing on something, it just enhances it to the next level. Right. So, that was awesome. Did DOG for a while. And then Don Webster from Neon Cross had approached me not too long after, I had left Soldier, again, probably 95 or so, to come play drums for Neon Cross. So, actually ended up playing with them for many, many years. And that project is still kind of on the side, but you know, that band doesn't really do much anymore. So as I was kind of just, you know, playing around and doing different things, I got a phone call saying that, actually from Glenn Mancuso. And he said, "Hey man, George is looking for, you know, a drummer for Worldview." And I remember I hadn't heard too much about Worldview at the time. And of course I knew, you know, George through the industry and stuff, and just being in the Christian metal industry. And I said, all right, cool. So I ended up listening to the album, and I mean, oh my gosh. I mean, everything that was done on that album. And I told George this numerous times. I mean, he's so blessed. The Lord's just blessed him as a songwriter, as a producer. And when I heard that album, I'm going, oh my gosh, this is like, it's just off the charts. So, I ended up going down to meet with them, and actually it was Friday when we play the second, right? That's the date. That will be the 4-year anniversary to the day that I ended up coming on board with Worldview. So yeah, we went over, met at George's house, had a little barbecue. went out, ended up playing. We were getting ready for, actually, after that, we secured a show at the Whiskey for Striper. So that was kind of like the debut at the time. That's when we had Michael Drive come in and sing as well. And again, like George was saying, Michael's, you know, phenomenal singer. I love his energy. I love his tenacity. I really do. I love everything about the guy and his passion for music and wanting to see, you know, our bands that succeed. However, again, he, after singing it, it's like we were doing a lot of the Worldview tunes, but it didn't have the same energy that it did with the, you know, original members with Ray singing it. So that's, and again, just to follow up on George, when we said, you know what, yeah, this is not going to quite work, but we wanted to continue playing with Michael. And then that's when we ended up forming Human Code and took that down the second pass. So yeah, man, I'm honored. I feel blessed to be a part of, you know, Worldview, Human Code. And I told George before, it's like, dude, I wish we would have hooked up years ago and started doing stuff. So yeah, very thankful for that.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's jump in and let's play one song here by Human Code. And when we come back, let's talk about your show that you have prior to Nashville. And then, of course, we're going to discuss this September 4th here and in Nashville. We've already played two songs by the other two bands. The previous segment, we had Dystopia and Oblivion Myth. And then, but yeah, let's talk about the show and also what you're doing. Yeah, before you introduce the song, you want to introuce the song?
Yeah.
Socially Incorrect?
Sure.
Anything you want to say?
I did send you two songs, so if you want to play
oh,
two.
Oh, yeah, we can do two. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I have one ready, but we'll get the other one ready. All absolutely. Right. All right.
This song
about this one. Yeah.
This song's called "Socially Incorrect." It's kind of our staple, almost our anthem, if you will. It's basically pretty self-explanatory, saying, "I am socially incorrect," and enjoy. It's pretty metal.
Yeah, check it out. September 4th at Bowie's downtown Nashville. We have a day thing going on with Pretty Tied Up. They're going to play the afternoon segment, and then the metal stuff happens starting at about 7:30. Make sure you're there. Check this out. Human Code, Socially Incorrect, Music City Metal.
Aggression. social infection. Adulterers to their lives. My refusal to conform has a fate in this world. But I don't care. I scoff at their evil. Take my
we got caught on a hard stop. Music City Metal, Socially Incorrect. We're sitting here talking about editing video while we're listening to that song. Listen, man, I love this. This is reminding me a little bit of Dream Theater, some Queensryche action. That's what reminds me. Well, yeah, no, it's okay. He's good. We're good. There's Terry. We had the mute button in case you were breathing heavy on the phone while the song was playing.
That's possible.
But I like it, George. I like it a lot. I'm looking forward to this. And I think one of the things that I'm excited about is that Mary and I have been really active since 2017 in the local scene here. And we've come across so much talent here. And we have some kids barely out of high school. And then you have Oblivion Myth. They've been around a few years and they're middle-aged guys, you know, haven't made it big outside of Nashville yet, but still good solid Christian hearts. And then you have veterans like y'all playing that night, so we kind of have a really cool mix with the new generation of metalheads and, you know, veteran like yourself. Is it okay calling you a veteran since we celebrated 60?
I guess that's a nice
good stuff.
That's a nice way to say old. Can I say BASTHRD?
Yeah, we could say. I do have it listed as explicit. I try to be nice.
Sorry, but yeah.
I think it's cool. Now, you've been here a little bit. Ray, actually, both of you guys. Terry, I don't know if you know too much about what's happening here in metal, but this just, what is your take on what you've seen in this city? You did a pretty cool post the other night on Facebook and opened up a can of worms about turning Nashville into a metal city. But I mean, what have you seen with the local scene here that you like or don't like or whatever? I don't care what it is, because we have a lot of bands that listen to this show.
Well, post, I didn't mean to say that I'm going to turn this into a metal city. That's not what I meant. I wrote to make it more of a metal city. In other words, grow the metal community here more than it is. Because it's kind of in the background. I'd have to be a real idiot to think that we're going to convert this country town, and make that take a backseat to metal. That's never going to happen. Obviously, that's not what I meant by the post. I mean, there's probably people thinking, "Yeah, right, you know, dream on, dude." But I think, you know, it's funny. We just went, Ray and I, and I'll have Ray talk about this in a second. Ray and I just went to Tom Kiefer at the Marathon, and man, that place was packed. And they were all a bunch of rockers there. You know, there's a lot of rockers here in Nashville. There really is. We just got back from seeing Mary and Larry and Ray.
Anthrax.
We just saw Anthrax with Hatebreed and Zach Wilde's band. What's the name of it again?
Black Label Society.
Black Label Society.
Yeah, Ryman.
I mean, and that was packed. I mean, and so there's a lot of rock and rollers here in Nashville. And I think it's kind of been an underground type thing. What I meant is like almost taking it out of the underground, putting it in the mainstream, because I think, and I'm going to, Ray, please comment on this, because I think a lot of the bands, even country bands, are getting heavier. Ray just told me about a tour that I'll let him tell you about that's coming up. And I'm amazed. Terry is a big fan of Hardy, and Hardy has got some really heavy stuff that they're doing. I mean, we're talking distorted guitars with drums that are pounding.
This is a country band?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Satanic music?
Phenomenal.
Hardy's a country artist, and he, you know, he has a very hard edge on some of his material, but, you know, he also crosses over into some more of that pop country that I think America and the world is kind of used to hearing right now. But the show that George is actually talking about that I actually turned him on to, and I mean, I can guarantee you George and I will be there. It's going to be Brentley Gilbert as the headliner, and opening up for him, when I saw it, I was like, are you kidding me? How is this even going to work? Five Finger Death Punch is opening up for them.
I actually,
oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Five Finger opening up for Brantley Gilbert. Yeah. Now, he actually has, when I was just wrapping up my DJ career about 17, he had a song out called Kickin' the Sticks. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty kind of, it was more Southern rock, had a rocky edge to it, but I can't name a song since then.
Which is actually for, you know, George and I talk about this all the time, but we both kind of feel like that's where the new country in this town or in the industry, that's where it's going to kind of start going towards. I mean, you've already started seeing, you know, individuals like Chris Stapleton, who's more of that bluesy Leonard Skinner type of thing. And I think George is correct in saying that we're going to start seeing a lot more of that country type of vibe come in. So we're going to see a lot more of this, you know, hard rock, even metal incorporated into what a typical country individual would listen to.
You know, there's something really interesting. I'm sorry, Mary, you were going to say something?
I was just curious as to what's going to happen in that crowd, because if statistically you look at the most fights at a like an outdoor venue type of concert, I don't know where this is going to be, but it's usually the country flannel boot wearing folks that are getting into fights and throwing bottles. It's not typically the metalheads, so
I
this
heard
should
that.
Be interesting.
I heard that there's more fights at a country show than there are on a metal show.
I've heard it all the time.
I guess George and I will know because we'll be in the thick of it when they come and play.
But check it out. What I was saying is. I really think that that even talking to my neighbor, which is she's in the industry, and I don't want to say his name, but you know, but he even agrees that a lot of these bands are getting edgier. And here's what I think. Again, please don't crucify me, but I think the good old boys that have run Nashville for so many years, I think there are a lot of them are starting to die off.
You're right.
You know,
definitely,
and they're
right.
And they're just dying off because they're old and. With that, the old way of doing things is kind of going out the door. I mean, if you think about it, Five Finger Death Punch was a country act. I mean, that would have never flown here before.
Never.
You know, but now it's starting to fly. So maybe, just maybe, George and Ray making their way out here, and other producers, by the way, like a Dan Huff that started out as a rock guy, and I think in his heart he's still a rock guy. But, you know, country pays the bills. And maybe, just maybe, we'll find our niche here as producers, artists, songwriters, with the edgier stuff. Because I did not come, and I don't think Ray did either, come to Nashville here to be a country dude. I'm not a country dude, you know. And if my talents as a metal guy and as a rock guy could be utilized within the country realm. Because if you really think about it, look at that. When I went to go see Keith Urban live, recently, I mean, they got Marshall Lamps on stage. I mean, they're rocking, drums pounding, and it's a rock show. It's not even, you know, with a little twang in his voice that makes it country all of a sudden. Brantley Gilbert, Hardy, these guys are all like, they got the little twang in their voice, but there's some distorted guitars, there's lead. Country Must Be Countrywide, I think that's that song.
Yep.
That's a badass tune.
Yeah, no,
that's
good. That's one I didn't mind playing when I was working.
See,
DJing,
now that,
you know,
one right there is again, heavy.
It was
all
right.
Heavy, it's got a guitar lead in it. That's a rock guitar lead.
Man, I've never listened to it myself, like riding in the car, but, you know.
Yes, you did. You just don't want to admit it publicly. It's okay.
No, I don't want to go to hell. I didn't listen to country music. Bob said I'd, Pastor Bob, I say Bob, Pastor Bob said I would go to hell if I listened to country music.
So, Terry, I mean, Terry, do you agree that things are getting edgier with the country scene? Because I know you and your family are huge country fans.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, brother. I tend to hear it going that way, and my boys listen to a lot of it as well, and they're fantastic musicians also. So, you know, I like it. I love it, hearing that edge coming into the country music, because I grew up, man. I grew up on Conway Twitty and George Jones and Loretta Lynn. That's what my parents listened to, and of course I took a right turn and went into the hard rock metal scene. So. But I love it. And like I said, Hardy, he is one of my favorite artists right now. Just the way he writes. His drummer's phenomenal, man, with all the double bass work that they do. Yeah, great band.
Yeah, you know, I make jokes about it, but I was I definitely like the older outlaw country of the 80s, 90s myself personally. But the new stuff, like it, now this even kind of can apply to some of the younger metal bands that we're working with. They, if you go back and listen to some other episodes of Music City Metal, and I say, what kind of genre? What do you want to be called? 90% of them that are for bands that are in their mid 20s, they do not want to be defined by a genre. And I think maybe it's because here we are, you know, 50, 60 years into rock and metal, you know, where it was serious in this country. They have so much to go back on. And sometimes they're pulling something from Pink Floyd. Like there's a rock band that we had called Battery House Electric. And when I asked them what genre they were, they're like, well, we're 50% Pink Floyd and 50% Nirvana. So how can you, nobody wants to be pigeonholed into a genre. Mm-hmm. And I'm even seeing that happen. Like, Terry, I don't know what you want to comment on LA and the younger bands out there, if you're paying attention to anything, but most bands that I know here do not want to be pigeonholed into, yeah, well, we're death metal or we're thrash or we're, they're pulling everything together. And country's doing that too, even with like rap music. You hear a little bit of rap in country now too as well, or pop.
Right, now you've gone too far.
It's happening.
Yeah,
but you're right.
I don't know. You guys have any thoughts on that about genre differences and like, you know, how many genres of metal are there, you know? What do we hear lately? Hillbilly metal.
If I could chime in on this, because I mean, my partner George over here, we hate each other and love each other at the same time. But whoa!
You said partner. People are gonna think the wrong thing.
They
if you
are
say
like
partner.
An old married couple.
Nobody would think that, George, except for you. I mean that at the end of the day. Anyways,
you're not my partner. You're my buddy. Who lives down the street.
Okay, my buddy George.
Because I am happily married to a woman.
Okay. So we kind of disagree on a lot of things, and some things that are serious and some things that are not. But when it comes to music, I've always fallen into the category of, you know, only a not so smart band would pigeonhole themselves into one genre. I look at bands like the Beatles. They never pigeonholed themselves. They were everything from country to rock, yeah, to folk, and everything in between.
Singer-songwriter there,
yes,
a little bit.
So I think that is the genre that any band, any smart band, should be in. I mean, one of my favorite bands today is Shinedown. And if somebody was to ask me, well, what genre are they? They're just a rock band that happens to play a very aggressive songs on one side of the CD or one side of the vinyl, and on the other side of the vinyl it's this beautiful ballad, you know, that Neil Diamond could have written, you know. So, and they're anywhere in between, you know. And that's to me what a smart artist and band should do, because I won't mention any bands, but if you're feeding your audience the same burrito every time,
burrito, I'm hungry now,
they're gonna get bored, you know, and they're gonna go elsewhere. Yeah. I mean, the music industry is, you know, the listening ear is very finicky. You got 15 seconds. If you're not going to, you know, entice somebody, they're gonna move on to the next artist that's out there. And that's why we have, unfortunately, some of the music that's out there right now, you know. But there is some great music if you really, really, really dig. But that's my take on genres. You know?
Yeah, and if I may, not to continue to, you know, to beat that drum, but I am with Ray and George as well. You know, being in the Christian industry, it really is a challenging industry, right? Because when you get pigeonholed as a Christian rock band, it limits a lot of what, you know, the bands are able to do. Obviously, with Holy Soldier, the name said a lot right there. And we were out on the road with Alice in Chains and Extreme. And that was pretty challenging because they definitely didn't want us going on and thinking we were going to be preaching, right? So it limited, you know, a lot of, and they came up and they talked to us and all that sort of stuff. But I guess what I'm getting at here, you know, and obviously not cliche, it's God's word, but to be, you know, wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. And if we are to get out and try to reach the masses, then I don't think we need to be labeling ourselves to please the churches and everybody else. That we've all ran into that, oh, you guys are a Christian band. You should be preaching to the crowd. Well, I'm not here for the well. I'm here for the sick. And as Jesus said, I want to love them, draw them into us. Then they're going to listen to the message we have, right? That's the beauty of it. So, you know, back in the day when they'd say, oh, well, we're not a Christian band. We're Christians in a band. And people got a lot of flack for that, of course.
Right.
And it's like, hey, man. Yeah, and I'm not denying the Lord. I've been a believer for 40-plus years, and I love the Lord. Jesus Christ, man, that's my number one. If it wasn't, I mean, look, I would never deny that. Never. But what I've learned over the years is you can't go up and punch somebody in the face and tell them how good God is.
Yeah,
that's just, it doesn't work. You want to go up, you want to love them, get them to love you, just like with anybody, then they're going to be willing to listen to what you have to say. Then they're going to be willing to, you know, hear the hard stuff. It just opens a different door. So anyways, on that, yeah, I think, you know, nowadays with people coming out and saying, we're a Christian band, well, if that's what you want to do, that's good. But I think, like you had said, you know, when you talk with veterans that have been there, there's no reason why we can't go out and create an amazing band where all the guys in the band love the Lord. The music glorifies God. We're not, you know, within the lyrics, especially when you listen to Michael Drive's stuff. It's, you know, there's nothing out there that's, you know, that's not going to be edifying that he's writing about. So we need to be wise about how we're approaching it these days, especially with, you know, just trying to reach the masses for many reasons.
Yeah, you know, I think it kind of started where you, all right, POD, I remember hanging out with them the day they signed with Atlantic. We were at Cornerstone, and that was the one thing that they did not want to be marketed as a Christian band. But, boy, were they solid, and they lived the life on stage off. Then you have, like, Demon Hunter, and then Avenged Sevenfold. And that, I think that did change about 20 years ago, right, Jordan, where, you know, that wasn't marketed as a Christian band, but they were obviously.
Pillar was another one, I think.
Pillar, yeah. Right? I mean, so I think it's been done successfully because, yeah, Striper ended up in the gospel section at Kmart when I was in youth group.
I saw Deliverance in the gospel section before.
In the gospel section, yeah right. The big record.
Joke.
Yeah.
What a
Weapons,
joke.
The Weapons album in the gospel section.
Yep. I've seen it. I've seen it. If I can answer a little bit of that question, too, and I don't want to kill or belabor this point, but I'm a little bit different from what Ray said and what even Terry said. Terry and I pretty much agree on most things, but I think if people want to classify themselves a little bit, that's okay. Like, for instance, what did I just say earlier? That I didn't want Mike to change worldview because worldview had a certain style. And I do believe that I want to preserve that style that we kind of have. And that way, that's why we started the side band to kind of have no limitations. If we want to do a disco song, we can. If we want to do a ballad, we can. If we want to do a hard rock song. But I didn't want that for worldview because I think that's a specific kind of, in my head at least, it's a specific genre and I don't want to deviate from it. Where it's that theatrical, cinematic, these guys call it fantasy metal. Which is
fantasy metal.
You know, it's kind of got a lot of those keyboards and a lot of those melodies. And so I want to keep that project on that road. You know, and not that I'm going to write everything the same as Ray kind of suggested, not so much for worldview, but there's a certain genre that I kind of want to keep that in the lanes. So I do believe in that if a band wants to kind of stick with a certain genre. But at the same time, there's nothing wrong with also having a project where just whatever, you know. I mean, the Beatles, Ray brought up the Beatles, they evolved through time. They changed. They didn't, like their earlier stuff didn't have a, you know, a psychedelic song. They evolved into that.
They evolved
later.
With LSD.
So I think every band, like Jimmy tried to do Deliverance, evolved. Everybody has always tried to pigeonhole Deliverance into this thrash band, and Jimmy wants to get away from that. He wanted to do more singing and this and that. and all the hardcore fans were getting all mad because he wasn't doing the speed metal anymore.
I liked it. I Camelot and Smithereens was the one of the changes, right?
Yeah. Where,
a little bit. I don't know. You want to call it gothic, but it was a little different than Weapons, and I liked it. And people are like, "Oh, this
And some people thought he sold out, but he didn't sell out. He just evolved, and there's nothing wrong with evolving.
And just to clarify, Geo, there, because like you said, you know, in no way am I ever telling anybody to deny their faith or their conviction. You know, it's really, you know, how people want to approach it. So.
Let's talk about what's happening next week. You're all heading up to, everyone's coming in next Wednesday, convening here in Nashville, and you're heading up to Versailles. You want to talk about that show, and then we'll plug Bowie's again and play another Human Code song.
Mary, you're going to say something?
Versailles.
Versailles?
He just said he was born in France.
Where are we going?
Versailles.
It's going to be in Versailles, Ohio.
Ohio.
Which
Buckeye
is
state.
About the middle of the state. I saw a video of the venue. The venue is top notch. Everything's going to, I'm telling you, anybody who is on the fence and not sure if they want to are going to go. Because this venue you're going to see is top notch. It's really, really nice. Everything they're going to do at this show is going to be totally pro and totally top notch. There's been other shows like this that have been, I don't want to bag on anybody, but less than professional, shall we say. But this show, they're doing everything right. The venue's really nice. It's really big. If you want to walk around, you can. You're not just stuck in the building listening to bands that you don't like. Maybe you like the next band, but you don't like this band. So I would encourage you to go because there's going to be some veterans there. There's going to be some new people, new blood there, and it's going to be great. And we're going to be playing September 2nd, Friday. The lineup that day will be Saint. If you guys remember Saint, they're kind of the Judas Priest type of almost in the Christian realm, but they're really good. I've always liked Saint. I like Josh the singer a lot, and they're just your classic metal band. They're awesome. Then Human Code will play after that. And again, Human Code is Michael Drive, Lee from Baron Cross, myself, George Ochoa, Terry the Animal Russell, and Todd Libby. So we all come from a bunch of different, you know, bands ourselves. And then the headline that night will be Sacred Warrior with Ray Parr and pretty much all the original members. So that's going to be really cool. As soon as I get off stage, I'm going to definitely enjoy watching them. Now, the next night, a bunch of bands are playing. I guess some of the highlights that I'll point out. The next day, Deny the Fallen again, Ray Parr's other band with John Johnson. And Baron Cross, of course, is headlining the whole show. And who am I missing from that's playing?
Oh, Baron Cross. I mean, when's the last time they played together? Do you know? Original?
Over 10 years ago, for sure. You want to hear a little nugget? My old band, Prophet, the first band that I ever joined after becoming a believer, we played with Baron Cross in a living room, and we had like four Marshall stacks and two Ampeg stacks in a living room, and there was like 100, there was about 50 people there. And it was Baron Cross and Prophet.
That's pre-recon.
We're talking 1983, 84.
Wow. I was 15. Dang it.
So that's how long I've been playing with.
I don't even know if I had discovered Striper yet.
So it's going to be a good reunion with a lot of people. If you're not sure about going to the show, go to the show because I think it's going to be historic, to be honest with you.
George, tell us where we can get more information about this show. What's it called?
It's called the Immortal Festival. And let's pull up the website.
Is there a website for it?
You can hit the sanctuary page.
George is not prepared.
We can fill in, The Immortal Fest. And I know Pastor Bob is doing a podcast with Chris Jericho, Fozzie, the wrestler. They're recording.
I
know. We're stuck in Nashville.
What
we're going to be doing? We're going to be setting up casinos. And then at Friday and Saturday night, I am taking the young lads from Dystopian down to Live on the Green, which is a festival that happens here in Nashville Labor Day weekend, which is literally two blocks away from Bowie's, and we're going to be handing out flyers. So sadly, I can't be there. I really wish I could, but we'll be prepping and trying to get butts and seats, as they say, at Bowie's.
Beautiful.
For Sunday the 4th. And we got a young hungry band. Terry, I'm really stoked to introduce these young lads to you. I think they're amazing young guys, and they've played with Rob Barrett of Cannibal Corpse twice now, and they played at our festival last year.
Nice.
And we took them down to June. We took them to Florida, and Rob jammed with them again. And he's staring at these kids. He's like, "This is the next generation of metal." And when they're old enough, I want them to open for the band. So, and then we got Oblivion Myth, which we've already touched on. If you want to hear that full episode with Oblivion, just go hit up Music City Metal. We played one of their songs. And we're going to wrap up here once George is – are you looking at your mixer? Oh, he's pulling up the Immortal Fest. I was looking at the wrong screen.
Wrong screen.
I'm trying to film. Hey, Mary, talk about Anchor FM. Instead of playing the pre-recorded one, why don't you do your anchor spot here before we – play some
Ooh,
more
you're
human
putting
code.
Me on the spot for a spot.
Yeah,
with
just
no
do it.
Script.
Do it live, no script. Come
so,
on.
So we gotta give them this information.
Yeah, go ahead, George.
It's I guess the website's gonna be BMI Event Center, which is boy, man.
There's a lot of other bands.
Irwin,
there.
And there's a lot of bands.
Les Carlson there, huh?
Les Carlson's playing on Sunday.
Yeah, he'll be playing on Sunday night, yeah.
Man.
Fear Not, Chaotic Resemblance, which is a new up-and-coming band. It's a great band. White Cross is playing, I forgot. White Cross is playing on Saturday. And so, BMI Event Center, it is going to be 3 days, epic event. It's the first annual Immortal Fest, so let me see what else. So September 2nd through 4th. And if you need any more info, you can always go to our website, which is humancodemusic.com.
Oh,
you'll find
easy.
It on there. Humancodemusic.com.
Well, there it is. And we're gonna play one more Human Code song and then come back and wrap up. I just have a couple questions. George, got to get a couple photos for Instagram of your wall of guitars there. And I want just to ask a question about that, which one, like, well, we'll wait. Let's play some Human Code. This is, which one are we doing here? Jeez, I'm unprepared now.
This
buddy.
Song is called Blame Me.
Blame Me. Blame Me. So we're just going to introduce it. I didn't load it. We'll just introduce it and I'll drop it in. Save us some time. Is that cool?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Blame Me from Human Code. We're going to come out and wrap this up with a couple more things and check it out. If you can't make it to Immortal Fest, you live in the Nashville area, free show. Bowie Sunday night drink specials, right, Ray?
Yeah, we got there's gonna be drink specials all day, and we're working on some night specials.
Yeah,
but it's gonna be 2-for-1 Wells.
Yeah, there you go. So Bowie's in Nashville, free show to wrap up Immortal Fest. Man, I wish I could go to that, but here it is, Music City Metal. I guess Mary, when we come back, you think of your anchor script. Usually we have a pre-recorded thing for Anchor FM, which hosts our podcast, but I think you can do it live. I think you can. But first, Music City Metal, here's Human Code, Blame Me.
When we met, I was enthralled. Your kind of passion that I sought for to a fault. I should have known, I should have read between the lines. You went sweetly, but I went blind. You made me feel like my dreams were alive. It felt surreal, like an idol provides. But like a I love you.
to throw caution to the wind. The consequences I should know of doing the wrong thing. I let a smile, I let a laugh control my heart. And now my soul feels torn apart. When has illusion removed what is real? Will wisdom replace what I think that I feel? When will I learn from the messes I made in this world? Oh, is it too late to fall in love? I need to know how, but just for now I'm ending this show.
Music City Metal, that's Human Code, playing here in Nashville September 4th, and hopefully not long after that, we're going to do something else. Those of you, we were talking about Fish Fest in the beginning of this podcast, and I don't know, maybe they'll work out for that first quarter of next year. But Mary, tell us about Anchor.
Anchor is a free platform to host your podcast, and I think it's cool because for a novice like me, it has easy podcast creation tools right from your phone. Larry doesn't like to use it. He has to bring this big rig and all these spaghetti cords. I just have my phone sitting on the table, and I'm going to go home and punch and edit. Same. And I'm going to beat you to publish. You want to race?
Yeah. No, definitely not.
But you can also get sponsorships from sponsors that are in your particular genre, since we're using that's the word of the evening, to make a little bit of side hustle from your podcast. And then I just turn around and put that money right back in the Fish Fest bowl. So we'll see. Spring of 2023. Stay tuned for that.
Yeah, anchor.fm. It's cool. It's through a Spotify thing, and you're able to use whatever music's on Spotify free of charge. No
right,
royalties.
No copyright
all that. Yeah.
Issues. Perfect.
That's pretty cool, too. So, yeah, we were a long time doing it on our own, and we switched over to Anchor, and I like it. Mary's, you've been doing well with the Music City Metal calendar on that. And
it just goes
busy.
To
yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's all.
It goes to show you you can teach an old dog new tricks.
We have to mention Anchor so that we can get our sponsorship, right? Our place. How many plays we need to get some money?
50.
That's it. All right.
All right. great.
All right, George, let's talk about your history just for a minute. And Terry, I know you've probably seen pictures of his guitars up on that wall there. How many you got, and which one's your favorite, and why? I've been dying to ask you this, so I.
Terry's been here actually once or twice. I think once, and he's going to be here next week.
Yeah, I know, a couple of times. But I'll tell you, for those that are using your imagination right now, it's like walking into Guitar Center.
Yes.
It's the most amazing thing. You've got mixing boards and drums and guitars. And, yeah, it's Guitar Center.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have any kids, so like you, Terry, and I don't have to send any kids to college or none of that stuff, so I buy guitars instead.
Well, Uncle George, my kids don't see it that way. My boys want all those guitars in your will.
You got maybe just one of them.
You got another one. You got Ray right here that wants my purple telly.
It's the only good guitar. Oh, okay, he can have it.
Oh, my goodness.
My favorite guitar? Okay. Well, you know, you guys, how many of you guys have, by a show of hands, how many of you guys have seen the Weapons video with Deliverance?
I have. It's a 777.
Yeah. Well, that's not my favorite, but that's probably the most famous guitar on my wall, which is that Camouflage 777 BC Rich Gunslinger, right? That's what they call it?
It's Gunslinger,
It's probably has the most photos if you go search George Ochoa. And
oh, yeah, you'll find me playing
that one, that guitar. On the.
But you will not see me play it at Immortal Fest. Okay, so let's get that straight.
Well, why don't you play it at Bowie's?
Maybe I'll play it at Bowie's. So come on out to Bowie's and you'll see the historic guitar, possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly. But I'm going to say that purple telly, that's special for me because I waited almost 10 years for that guitar because the guy was building it. My buddy Sammy Sanchez was building it for me, took forever. But lately I've been playing a lot of the Majesties, so I really like those a lot. Those are the music bands. But I also have my collection of Les Pauls, so, and I also have some Strats, so I don't know. I love them all. I love them all. I even have a Flying V there.
Have you played each one of those at one point or another?
Well, of course. I don't just have them just to, like, look at, even though they're pretty to look at.
When we eventually get to a Human Code podcast, we got to do it with the band here, and then we'll play some, like, do something live recording.
That'd be fun.
Or whatever. Even we can do it with Human Code, too, but.
They'll all be here next week. They'll all be here next week.
Leave the rig here. There's enough spaghetti for everybody.
Man, Terry, thank you so much for hanging out with us. I look forward to the show next week and getting to know you better. Let me ask you this. Were you at the, you were talking about Neon Cross. Were you at the Sanctuary Reunion show in 2000? Playing with Neon Cross now? That's where I met George. Who I think you put that together, didn't you, pretty much?
I think I helped with Bob, yeah.
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 Were you there?
It may have been, I don't remember. There was, no, I was not there. Up From the Ashes, what I was thinking of that gig, that was a double bill where Neon Cross was opening for Soldier, so I ended up playing that night with them there.
Yeah, that was my first trip to Cali there when I was living with Pastor Bob, and Mary and I came out for that and filmed it, but we were really never able to release it, and
Terry,
one of these days we got to break that out.
Terry, did you play both sets, Neon Cross and Holy Soldier?
I did, and I absolutely loved it, man. That's where the animal comes out. The first set with Neon Cross was just the warm-up, man. Oh, it was awesome.
That's crazy for a drummer to do two sets back-to-back. Wow.
Oh, absolutely loved it. I told you, I'm like an old mule, right? I don't even get warmed up till I start sweating.
That's it.
I just made the connection. Animal,
the
drummer,
the Muppets.
Oh my gosh!
I'm sorry, it's been a long week.
Way to go, got it.
Give me a ding.
Hey, have you ever seen Terry's drum solos? A drum solo by Terry?
I have not.
There's got to be some YouTube videos of it.
He's famous. No. He's famous for bringing out his humongous plastic bats like Bam Bam.
Nice.
And he does a solo with those, and it's really entertaining.
All right.
I'll look for that.
Yeah, it's some of those old videos are pretty cheesy, but I'll tell you what, Michael Drive was saying, dude, we should revamp that. But I got to tell Michael, you know, that is something that you don't just do with a little 4 or 5 piece drum kit. I've got to bring out what we call the bone machine, and that is my tour kit where I've got, it's like there's 14 drums, 17 cymbals. It's got, you know, when we do this, it's, it's just part of the show, right? And so you can't do it on a small scale, but maybe one day, right? One day, human code, worldview, wherever we're at, if we end up bringing in the bone machine, we'll go all out.
All right. Well, let's start with next week, September 4th here in Nashville.
Come on out.
Free show, Bowie's. I'm pretty stoked about it. Thank you for listening to Music City Metal. Follow us on Instagram. Mary, that's your department. Is it at Music City Metal?
What is it?
Yeah, Instagram's our biggie. We do Facebook as well. And, of course, humancodemusic.com. Is that correct, George? Why is he looking at his phone?
Humancodemusic.com.
I was right. All right, there it is. All right, peace, and we'll wrap up as we always do. Hey, you want to make the world a better place? Commit a random act of kindness to a complete stranger.